T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I got to ask you one thing real quickly here. I thought you were going to go, people really looking forward to the Pirates-Cubs to see how it's going to unfold. I thought maybe people were looking forward to seeing if there's going to be any violence, if you will, in this game after Joe Maddon really threatened the Pirates. Said, you keep pitching my guys inside, your hitters aren't going to like it. Do you expect anything tomorrow?
And not necessarily
or this
tomorrow.
Weekend?
Yeah, I do. I think somebody's going down. I really do. I think a Pirate hitter is going to take one somewhere.
You got to be careful with that, how you do it. You're going to get tossed out of the game. Do you want to get a Lester or a Darvish, somebody thrown out?
What happens if it's somebody in the seventh inning of a blowout game, you know?
Well, then that would definitely – oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. So what if you throw him out?
Joe Maddon is so smug, that's the way he would do it.
You know, that whole thing last week, that scene, him charging out of the dugout, like trying to get to Hurdle, made sure Joe West intercepted him. I would have loved to have seen him go around.
A Malkin spinorama,
you know,
that he had.
Hurdle's a pretty big man. I would have enjoyed watching that. I'm not a Joe Maddon fan. I find him very arrogant and condescending. But I thought that was much ado. Maybe to inspire his team, which is underachieved all year. Their payroll, Eric, is $211 million, and they're 47-43. They're only 2.5 games better than the Pirates.
Yeah.
And they're talking about making major changes there, and I think that one could involve firing him.
Yeah, and the Pirates can contribute to those major changes if they, you know, maybe take all three of those games. Wouldn't that be something?
Eric, you remember where you were when you heard Clemente died?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was.
I mean, that's one of those days you remember, right?
Oh, yeah. That was New Year's Day. I recall
1973.
That. Yeah. I recall that very vividly. And what I recall, too, was which bowl game? It had to have been the Rose Bowl, I guess. Kurt Gowdy was on. And, of course, Kurt did all the baseball games for NBC. And he talked about it quite a bit because that was late in the afternoon. All the details had started to come out. That sort of thing, but it was just like you heard about it in the morning on the radio, and then as the day went on, you were just hoping to get all kinds of positive information. Never did, and then as the day went on, you accepted the fact.
I believe that
wow,
was the day the Steelers lost to Miami in the playoffs. Wasn't that a week after the Immaculate Reception against Oakland? I think I'll double check that, but obviously. I remember the Clemente thing. You know, Sanguin helped him pack, could have gone on. And, you know, Neil Walker's dad, Tom, helped him pack. He was playing winter ball in Puerto Rico and helped him pack the plane. And he was going to go with Clemente. And Clemente said, nah, it's New Year's Eve party. You know, I'll see you next week or after when I get back. And he never got back.
Yep.
I mean, it was just – that's something you always remember. I was 16 at the time, Eric. I remember – I can close my eyes and see myself in bed reaching over to the radio in the morning and getting that news. I mean, just staggering. Thanks, Eric. Welcome back to hour number 4, the fourth and final hour of this Thursday edition of the Cook and Joe Show. Starkey has the day off today. I'm Ron Cook talking sports with you. And I mentioned a column I wrote earlier this week. You heard last week that Tyler Skaggs, the pitcher for the Los Angeles Angels, they found dead in a hotel room in Texas, 27 years old. It just shakes up the sports world. It shakes up everybody when you hear about anybody dying, especially a young athlete. You look at them as being so indestructible, but as we well know, none of us are indestructible. And Tyler Skaggs found dead, and it got me to thinking about some of the Pittsburgh athletes and coaches, managers, too many we've lost. Obviously, Clemente in 1973, New Year's Day morning, going to Nicaragua to deliver earthquake relief supplies. Bob Moose of the Pirates, okay? Bob Moose threw a no-hitter against the Mets in 1969. He also threw a wild pitch later that eliminated the Pirates from the playoffs in the National League Championship Series against the Reds. that had gone to the World Series. He threw a wild pitch. They lost. Moose was killed in a car crash on his birthday, no less. 29th birthday in 1976. I remember that vividly. Clemente and Moose are the Pirates. Bob Michelle Briere of the Penguins was 21 in 1971, a highly touted rookie. Car crash, ends up in a coma for 11 months before he finally died. You see his number 121 jersey hanging from the rafters at PPG Paints Arena next to number 66. Of course, you know who that one belongs to. But Michelle Briere was only 21 when he perished in that car accident. The Penguins have had some real bad luck, tragedy over the years, losing people. Going back to Baz Bastien was their general manager in 1983. I believe he was on the parkway and his car hit a motorcycle. He was killed. Badger Bob was the head coach when the Penguins won the Cup in 91. He got to celebrate that. I'll never forget Tom McMillan and I. Tom now works for the Penguins. We're in the room at Minnesota. The last one's out with Badger Bob and Kevin Stevens. And I remember Badger, such a love for hockey and a love for life. And he goes, boys, appreciate this. It's not going to happen every year. And I remember being on the plane with the Penguins to go to the White House that year with President Bush 1, I believe, when Mario approached him. He goes, and you are, you know, not that the president needs to know who Mario Lemieux is, but I'll always remember Badger Bob on that plane and how proud he was of his team. And then that fall, he gets brain cancer and he dies. One of the most emotional moments I can ever remember at a Pittsburgh sporting event, the first Penguins home game that year. And Scotty Bowman took over. Scotty Bowman was working like a player personnel then. He took over as coach, and at the old arena, everybody had a candle that they held up in a moment of silence for Badger Bob before the first game. I'll never, ever forget it. One more, Herb Brooks, 2003. I remember where I was. I always talk about hanging out at Domenico's restaurant in Cranberry. That's exactly where I was, sitting there, and when a good friend of mine, Scott Wappler, comes in and says, did you hear what just happened? I go, no. He goes, Herb Brooks was killed in a car crash, 2003. Herb Brooks, of course, was a Penguins coach. He was a director of player personnel for them when he died. You know what he's most famous for, only the greatest sports moment in American history, as far as I'm concerned. He was a coach of the Miracle on Ice United States team, 1980. He orchestrated the whole thing. Craig Patrick, his assistant coach, later the Penguins GM, hired Herb with the Penguins, was the good cop on that team. Herb was the bad cop. The players hated him. He knew exactly what buttons to push to get the most out of them. And Herb Brooks was one of my favorite people to deal with. I'm so thankful I got to know him, and I still miss him to this day. The Pirates, the Steelers have had their share too. One of my first assignments at the Pittsburgh Press, I joined the press in October of 1983. And one of my first assignments was to cover Gabe Rivera's car accident on Babcock Boulevard in Ross Township. He was paralyzed. He was the Steelers' number one draft choice that year. Senior Sack was his nickname for what he did at Texas Tech. A lot of people thought he could have been the building block of another great run by the Steelers, just as another Texas defensive lineman, Joe Green, was 15 years earlier. But Senior Sack paralyzed in a car crash. He just died last year at age 57. I have vivid memories of covering that story. And my first memories of the Steelers, I very vaguely can remember a defensive tackle, a mountain of a man. He was Mean Joe before Mean Joe. I'm talking about Eugene Big Daddy Lipscomb, like 6'8", 300, whatever he weighed. He was just a monster of a man. And he was quoted as saying his style of playing defensive tackle was, he said, he just wraps his arms around the whole backfield and starts peeling away guys until he finds the ball carrier. And he says, him, I'm keeping. He was just a mountain of a man. He died of a heroin overdose in 1963 at the age of 32. I can barely remember him playing. Who can forget a nickname, Big Daddy Lipscomb? I did forget. I talked to Joe Gordon, the Steelers' longtime PR guy, the best there ever was, about a couple, if he remembered any other Steelers that had problems. And he brought up to me in 1977, they had a rookie defensive tackle from Missouri, a seventh-round pick named Randy Frisch. And he and a wide receiver, an undrafted free agent, Dave Griniker, were coming up Route 30 to go back to St. Vincent College on the night after an exhibition game at Three Rivers against the Buffalo Bills, involved in a car crash. Randy Frisch was killed. Griniker was hurt, survived, but never played again. So, man, we know what it's like, what they're going through with the Angels, what all of baseball is going through when somebody dies that young like Tyler Skaggs. It just shakes you up. And I still remember vividly the Clemente death. I remember the Bob Moose death vividly as well. It's just unbelievably sad, but, you know, athletes, we kind of put them on a pedestal, if you will. It's like they live in a dream world. They make all this money, monopoly money, and we almost think they're not real people, but they are. They do. They bleed. They get sick. They die young, and it can happen to anyone, and it doesn't matter how much money you have when that happens, and it's just sad. The Skaggs thing really got me to thinking, and again, Clemente, if you're a certain age out there, I'm sure you remember it. Maybe if you want to share your thoughts on where you were when you heard about any of these people, Clemente, Moose, Briere, Baz Bastien, Bob Johnson, Herb Brooks, the Gabe Rivera crash, any of these things, please give me a call. I'd love to share your thoughts on them. 412-928-9370 is our phone number. That's also our Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates remind you to text responsibly. You also can follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram with locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. 412-928-9370. You have a thought or memory about any of these young people killed early and still in the prime of their careers, whether it's a player or a coach or a GM or a front office person. 412-928-9370. I'm Ron Cook. I'll be right back. It's Cook and Joe on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.